Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word, our Bible study time. God is good, and I trust that you are having a blessed week and you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. This is a season of prayer. We have been studying together effectual, fervent prayer. I believe that you're growing in your ministry of prayer. I trust God that the level of that river of prayer is rising in your life as it is in mine and in so many other people's lives. I'm really excited about what the Lord is doing and what He's going to do. Because, you know, when God's people pray, things happen. Hallelujah. Things do happen. Prayer changes things. There are no impossibilities to God's people when they pray. Things that people give up on, expectations, hopes, dreams that could easily be aborted, receive new life when God's people pray. And when they know how to pray right. So that is so exciting. That's a lot of what we have been studying together, learning together, how to pray right. Would you please bow your heads with me? Let's share a word of prayer and get into tonight's lesson. I'm really excited about the things that the Holy Spirit is going to help us with. I'm sure some of which I don't even know about yet. But that's what happens when you yield to Him. There are things that you are prepared for that you get, and there are things that you are not prepared for that you get. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. I give you glory and praise for the opportunity that you've given to us to come together around the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, everyone that is joining with us tonight, online, on different platforms, and those that are listening to this teaching, this service, after it's been done and recorded. Lord, we present ourselves to you, precious Holy Spirit. We invite you, come. You are the teacher. You are our great teacher. So teach us tonight. Open our eyes to see. Lord, grant us understanding hearts. Loosen my tongue so that I can speak your word. Grant me utterance, clarity of speech. Lord, not my words, but your words. And have your way in our midst tonight. Let your will be done and established. Receive all the glory and receive all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. And thank you again for joining us tonight. Would you please go with me back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Let's just do a 5-minute recap of some of the things that we've already talked about in our two previous services. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. In the King James Version, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Some translation says being led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And then Paul says in the next verse, verse 19, and pray also for me that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Praying always, at all times, on every occasion, in the Spirit. We have learned a lot about prayer already. Praise God. And with each opportunity that the Lord gives us, we're rising. We're going higher. Our prayers are becoming more efficacious. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous produces great results and power. Our prayers become more effectual as we learn about some of these aspects of prayer that a lot of times we may not be paying a lot of attention to. You know, being prayerful isn't just spending hours and hours in prayer. Certainly sometimes the Holy Spirit can lead us and quicken us to spend hours and hours in prayer. Certainly, being prayerful involves spending quality time in prayer consistently. But I just want to say here that some of the prayers that the Lord prayed publicly, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed publicly, actually didn't seem that long. Some of them were quite long, but some of them were just so short as, thank you, Father, because you've heard me. And that's a prayer right there. That's a prayer of thanksgiving. The most important thing about prayer, what makes our prayer effectual, is not how long it is. Sometimes it is longer because there's just such quickening that the Holy Spirit is giving us, and we find out we pray and pray and just can't seem to want to stop yet. We don't seem to have that breakthrough yet, right? You know, when you pray over things and you've prayed through, a lot of times there's a witness in your spirit. Yes, I've prayed through. But sometimes it takes a while for that witness to come. And so the Holy Spirit keeps quickening us and we keep praying. But I just want to say, being effectual in your praying, being effectual, praying in an effectual way, has more to do with how we are praying than how long we are praying. Let me say that again. Being effectual in our praying has more to do with how we are praying than it has to do with how long we are praying. Again, I'm going to repeat that because I don't want to be taken out of context, that sometimes the Lord can quicken us to pray long, sometimes 2 hours and 3 hours and 4 hours. Great servants of God and great believers and just intercessors have talked about how the anointing and that grace for prayer and supplication that we read about in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 can come upon them, and they just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. So yes, there is that reality that all of us will probably experience from time to time. But it is very important that we pay a lot of attention to how we are praying. We have learned already that it is very important that we pray with confidence. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we learn from this scripture that confidence, the confidence with which we approach prayer and the confidence with which we approach the throne of God, plays a very crucial role in how effectual our prayers are. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have this confidence. And we have talked about this. The more confident we are in prayer, the more the likelihood that our prayers will be answered. The Lord doesn't just want a few of our prayers to be answered. He doesn't just want some of our prayers to be answered. The Lord wants all of our prayers to be answered. Prayer changes things. The Lord wants all of our prayers to be answered. And you may say, well, only few of my prayers are answered. Good. So let's take it up. Let's go to that next level where most of our prayers are answered. And one of the ways that happens is developing confidence in the place of prayer. We've learned that. If you missed that service, please go back and get in part two, the second part of this teaching series. We have also learned that the prayers that are answered are prayers that are prayed according to the will of God. And it says right there, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So it is extremely important. If you pray for 5 hours, but you are not praying according to the will of God, even though you are doing all the gymnastics in prayer and pray, you pace the floors, you kneel, you roll, you do everything, but you are not praying according to the will of God, all of that is nothing. It means our prayers are not rising to heaven. You can do all the praying and you can shout at the top of your voice and you can jump and you can do all the gymnastics. But if you are not praying according to the will of God, our prayers are not effectual. There are no answers coming. But it says when we pray according to the will of God, the Lord hears us. Well, one of the greatest ways that we've learned to pray according to the will of God is learning to lean heavily, strongly on the Holy Spirit when we pray. The Holy Spirit actually helps us to pray according to the will of God. He knows how to do that. Again, we've talked about that in our previous service. If you missed it, please go over those messages. We have them in audio, we have them in video. Please listen to them again and get a solid foundation for your prayer life. Because the more of these things we engage, we employ in prayer, the more productive our prayers will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, tonight, I want us to press forward. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we should be a house of prayer. The church, the body of Christ, the believers, we make up the house of prayer. And the way I like to think about it, we are all houses of prayer. Each of us are individual houses of prayer. And when we come together in corporate praying, we become this huge house of prayer. Amen. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 15, we're going to read there where in the temple, people were doing so many different things. Some were coming, they were selling, they were buying, they were this, they were that. But the main focus, what ought to be the main focus of the house of God, of the temple, was not being done. Of course, certainly, you cannot. There's only so much you can do. Once you don't keep the main thing, secondary things are going to take its place. And we'll all feel good that we're doing things in the house of God, but then we'll be missing the mark. Talk about exerting a lot of energy and a lot of strength and a lot of different things, and yet not touching the heart of God, not getting through, and not even having God's approval on the things that we're doing, or the blessings of heaven on the things that we're doing. So here in Mark chapter 11, verse 15, It says, and when they came to Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple and he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. So they were changing money. The church became a foreign exchange office. The church became, where buying and selling was conducted. The church became a place for transactions, a place for striking off businesses. You'd be amazed how many of our local churches today are very much like this church, this temple that the Lord Jesus Christ went into, where people are really doing a lot of things, but a lot of those things are basically just things that they are seeking to do for themselves, to help and further their own causes, have absolutely nothing to do with the will of the Father for the church. And the Bible says Jesus threw them out. It's one of the few times actually that we saw the Lord very, very aggressively expressing his displeasure. He threw them out. The Bible says he cast them out. He overthrew their tables and their seats. Amen. And he would not suffer, verse 18, that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Can you imagine what the Lord did? He posted people at the doors, the entrance to the temple. And don't let them in. Don't let them bring anything here. Don't let them, all this stuff. Don't let them. He said, because my Father's house, he says in verse 16. He would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And in verse 17, he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I believe that each of us are individual houses of prayer. And this is why it's so important. Because remember, whatever we do individually, whatever we become proficient at individually, that's what we're going to do corporately. The reason in this temple, what they were focusing on was totally out of what God had declared to be the priority of the church, was because in their individual lives, that's what they did. That's what they focused on. So it wouldn't be a far-fetched guess to imagine that these people didn't pray in their individual lives. You know, they did everything they did, and there's nothing wrong with their business, being in business, making money and all of that. If that's your vocation, that's awesome. That's good. All well and good. But that's not the purpose of the church. It's like we've said at different services, in a nation like the United States, the church can become political, where everything addresses politics, and all we're doing is, and there's nothing wrong with talking about politics and giving instructions and guidance as far as helping people know, how to make their decisions and how to participate and things like that. But certainly that's not the primary focus of the church. And the primary focus of the church is like the apostle said in Acts chapter 6. They said, yeah, we're going to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word of God and the ministry of prayer. We're going to devote ourselves to the ministry of the word of God and the ministry of prayer. So the Lord said, my Father's house, my house will be called a house of prayer will be called by of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So each of us are individual houses of prayer. And that's why it's important that we continue to grow in our prayer lives, and that we continue to practice praying, that we continue to yield to the Holy Spirit in our praying, that we have a prayer schedule, we have a prayer routine, that we prioritize prayer over everything else. We wake up early to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. that will put prayer first in everything. I will put prayer first every day. It's very obvious from the Word of God that Jesus' prayer life was entirely, mostly responsible for his empowered life. Jesus' prayer life was most responsible for his empowered life. Look back there. Let's just flip back in the book of Mark and let's go to Mark chapter 1. After he had done all these miracles and great things had happened in his ministry. The following day, you know, the crowds came back and everybody was looking for him. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 34, look at what the Bible says here. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. He cast out many devils. He suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Verse 35, and in the morning, hallelujah, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. There he prayed. In the morning. I can imagine that this was Jesus' prayer routine. I can imagine this was Jesus' schedule. That every morning when he got up, he went to a deserted place, a solitary place, to pray. Doesn't mean that we always have to go outside of our home, or if you are able to, that's great. There are, you know, nature places and things like that that actually many times aid praying. And if you are able to, some people are blessed where they have access to those things early in the day, early in the morning, and they can get there to pray. But for the most part, most people will probably not be able to do that. But you can find a quiet place in your home, wherever you live. You can live in a one bedroom and with people in there, but you can find a little corner. Most of us don't live in one bedrooms. Most of us actually have homes where we can have a little place where we have an altar set up. Like, that's our place of prayer. It can be at your kitchen table, your dining table. It can be somewhere in your guest room if you have one. It can be somewhere in your living room. It can be. Find a place where you pray on a regular basis. That's effectual praying. That's prayer that touches heaven. A place where you go consistently every beginning of every day to talk to your heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. In the morning, he rose up a great while before he got into all the hustle and bustle of the day. Before the children get up and start, you know, talking at you, and you don't have time to do anything. Don't say, well, I'll pray as I'm feeding the children. You will not be able. Well, yes, you will be able to pray while you're, but those are just like shortcut prayers. Those are like, how can I describe this? On-the-go prayers. But those are not the prayers you pray. Those are not substantial times of prayer. When we say you are praying effectually. Yes, you can pray as you go. We should. All of us should. You're driving, you should pray. You're at work, you should pray. Amen. You're in the grocery store, you should pray. You're getting gas, you should pray. Pray all the time. Yes. But then have times of concerted prayer. When it's you and the Lord alone. And there's no noise. All the noise is shut out. And you can pray. You can engage with the Holy Spirit. And you can hear the Lord when he talks to you. And your spirit is free. There's liberty for you to touch heaven as you pray. That's who we are. We are houses of prayer. Amen. And then you see the power that prayer delivered in verse 34. All the healing, all the power, all the manifestations were because he had a lifestyle of prayer. He was a house of prayer. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now, let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And let's discuss what the Bible describes as effectual fervent prayer. Of course, this is what we've themed or titled this entire Bible study lessons, all of this series. But the Word of God actually uses the expression here in James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm going to back up for a minute. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for 1 minute. And I'm trusting God this doesn't eat up too much of my time. But I just want to, just for a minute, address the order of prayer. Now, a lot of times the Holy Spirit will quicken us in our hearts to pray. And when we yield to Him and when we invite Him, He quickens us to pray in those times of concerted prayer. But I just want to mention to you, we already saw this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. And we've seen this in a few other places. But you know, in the Lord's Prayer, in Luke chapter 11, when the disciples came out and they saw He was praying, as He was praying in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Here, this was a different occasion. They ran into Jesus and He was having a time of concerted prayer. And they said to Him, teach us to pray. And let's read Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Just hold your place in James. I'm coming right back there. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that is when He was done, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. So you see, if prayer could be done without learning about it, like everybody says, yeah, I'm praying for you. Yes, I'm praying for you. And if some of what we have already learned here about the efficacy of prayer, prayer being effectual, the prayer that produces answers, that produces results, if all of that is not true, then the disciples would not have said, teach us to pray. Because everybody prays. They've seen people, they themselves had gone to the temple. But they saw that there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. And like we said earlier on in some of our earlier teachings, aspire to take your prayer life and your prayer level to a higher place where most, not a few, not some, most of your prayers are answered. I bet these disciples had looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they knew there was something different about the way He prayed, and there was something different about the products, the power in His prayer. So they said, teach us, Lord, to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Verse 2. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And after that, he was assuring them that if they prayed right, and if they prayed according to how He taught them, the Lord would grant them the desires of their heart. The Lord will grant them answers to their prayers. But I want you to see how it wasn't just that He gave them an outline or something like that. Yes, that's definitely a pattern that He gave them right there. And that's awesome. I hope at some point we can go back and revisit that again. But I just want us to keep in mind, this is very simple and very easy. Every time we pray, keep the order of God in your mind. This is the order of God in prayer. And you see it from that scripture that we read in Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4. The order of who and what to pray for, unless you are quickened otherwise by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're in a place of prayer and the Holy Spirit quickens us to pray a different way. Sometimes you come into your place of prayer and there's just a stirring of the Holy Spirit within you. And you know you're supposed to go in a certain direction. But and in every season and every session of our praying, we should be quickened by the Holy Spirit. We should invite the Holy Spirit. But keep that regular order. And this is the order of God. Pray for, number one, God's interests and God's people. Always, unless quickened otherwise by the Holy Spirit, train yourself to always pray for God's interests on the earth. Pray for God's interests and God's people. Number two, pray for other people and their interests that you are aware of, people that you know, people that give a lot of your beginning passions to pray about that. Issues that you are aware of in people's lives, or names that the Holy Spirit will bring to you. I'm sure this happens to you as it happens to me a lot. Today alone, this has happened quite a number of times already. I mean, first, there are faces he brings before me, people I'd not thought about in a long time. Even in my night, in my sleep, faces that were brought to me with definite, almost like definite direction regarding those faces, that I knew the Lord's having me pray for this person. Or even after I woke up, just names that came to me. I mean, do you experience that when you're minding your own business and or you're about to pray and suddenly these names start coming to you? Or even after your time of prayer, you're going about getting ready for work, or you get to work or whatever, or you're driving and names just start coming to you and you don't know why that person is coming to you. You know, sometimes you don't know, you've not even thought about them in a long time in your physical mind, and yet the names come to you. And so then what do then? We start praying for them. Praying for other people and their issues. And then number three, praying for yourself, your interests, and your people. Praying for yourself, your interests, and your people. I just want to go over this order again, one more time. Number one, pray for God's interests and God's people. Number two, pray for other people and their interests. Number three, pray for yourself, your interests, and your people. Of course, your people, your family, your loved ones. I know a lot of times in our times of prayer, we're usually more likely to want to go to that third one. And I know that's where our passion is a lot of times, and that's because we're human. So I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying train yourself as much as possible to start not with yourself. Again, remember, we're talking about learning to pray right. And we want to increase the measure, the proportion of our prayers that are answered. Train yourself to pray for God's people, God's interests first. Pray for other people, their interests. And then pray for yourself, your interest, your people, their interest, your family, your loved ones. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go right back to James chapter 5. It says in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let's read this from the Amplified. And I'm going to read it beyond verse 16 in the Amplified. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. This is what it describes as effectual, fervent prayer. The earnest, heartfelt. Hallelujah. So prayer that is effectual is prayer that is earnest. That is, it touches your heart. Train yourself to pray from your heart when you pray. Many people pray in ways that are not earnest. That is, it doesn't touch them. And I learned several years ago, decades ago, if prayer does not touch your heart, it will not touch the heart of God. The prayers that are effectual, earnest, are prayers that are heartfelt. When it is heartfelt and continuous, it is effectual. Hallelujah. So train yourself to pray from your heart. So that might require some preparation sometimes. It might require that you actually give your heart to thinking about people, thinking about God's interests, thinking about issues that concern others and issues that concern you. That may require that you find word basis, word foundation for those interests and those people and those things you want to pray about. That might require that you give it some thought, a measure of passion in your mind, a measure of thought so that there is passion developing for those things. Remember when we were praying in the month of September, praying for the United States? There's so many different aspects of those things we prayed. When we start praying that, just passion just rises from within us. Certainly from within me, passion rises. And as we prayed over God blessing his people, we prayed over unity and we prayed over healing and we prayed over the gospel having access, the will of God being done in our nation. We prayed over the elections. We prayed over righteousness. We prayed over the different things that the Lord seeks to do. We prayed over the body of Christ in the nation. We prayed for ministers with passion. We prayed against violence. We prayed for peace. Passion. It just rises. And when prayer touches your heart, it touches the heart of God. Always pray from your heart. Meditate in the word first before praying. Train yourself to meditate in the word if possible. When we wake up in the morning, we're not reading the word immediately. We're praying first. But that's why even right through our day previously, we should be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And through ongoing, as we go along, we should be meditating in the word. The Bible says in Joshua 1, verse 8, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate in it day and night. Says the same thing in Psalms 1, I think it's verse 3. Says, but his delight is in the word, is in the law of the Lord his God, talking about the righteous man, and in that law does he meditate day and night. So meditation is an ongoing thing because meditation creates a basis. When the Holy Spirit comes and he wants to quicken something in your heart to help you pray over something, well, guess what? Guess what he's going to use to do the quickening? It's the word of God. Is the understanding, the knowledge, the awareness, the light of the word of God in your spirit. But that word, that understanding, that light isn't going to jump into your spirit from heaven. You've got to meditate the word of God. So train yourself. Pray from your heart, meditate in the word before praying. Sometimes while praying, pause to meditate or consider God's word regarding what you are praying. Yeah, sometimes while praying and you are sensing the quickening of the Holy Spirit, pause. Maybe you've been talking, and something comes into your heart. Something comes into your spirit from the word of God. A thought about the word of God comes. Just pause your praying, pause your talking, let that thing sink into your heart, and then continue praying again. Because that the Holy Spirit will use that to quicken your prayers. Hallelujah. That's why many times as you pray, you find yourself beginning to refer to scriptures. It's not that you memorize them. You don't even quote all of them exactly accurate. Many of them, maybe not. But you just know, this part of the word, there's something in the Bible, something in the word that says that the Lord blesses his people when there's unity. And so, as you pray and you are praying for unity, that gets quickened. The Holy Spirit quickens that in your heart. And say, Lord, that where the people are one, it's beautiful for the brethren to be in unity, because that's where you pour your blessings. That gets quickened in your heart. And as you pray over that, passion rises. Passion rises. Amen. Amen. Meditate in the word. Consider the word of God as you pray. Make sure your heart connects with what you are praying. And make sure you have a word basis or word foundation for what you are praying. Make sure your heart connects with what you are praying. Don't just pray, call the prayer point, just pray mechanically, just pray, you're detached from it. All the while you say you are praying, but you are thinking about, what you need to do. Oh yeah, I need to do this in the office and da, da, da. And you're just talking. And sometimes we even, totally forget about what we were praying about. Our mouth is moving, but we're not really thinking about it. That's not effectual prayer. Again, a lot of that is responsible for many people's prayers not being answered. And sometimes we even say we have a goal, like we said, prayer must have a purpose. We have a target. Yeah, we start praying over that target, but because it's not quickened in our heart, because we've not given the Holy Spirit through meditation in the Word of God, we've not given Him substance that He can quicken in our spirit. Well, then, as we pray, even though we're really passionate about that thing, because we don't have substance in the Word, our passion is short-lived. It can only carry so long. Because remember, we read this scripture already in Romans chapter 8 from verse 26. Say, the Holy Spirit, we don't know how to pray the things we ought to pray. But the Holy Spirit, He intercedes through us. He helps our weaknesses. And the Father who sees the heart, He knows how to receive what the Holy Spirit is interceding on behalf of the saints, because the Holy Spirit is praying according to the will of God. And yet, in all of that, there is the Word. Meditating the Word actually gives Him fuel to use in quickening our hearts to pray. This is what is effectual prayer. This is what is fervent prayer. The word fervent, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous. The word fervent means it's hot. It means it touches you. It's combustible. Fervent. And I tell you, friends, prayer will not be fervent when it doesn't touch us. Prayer cannot be fervent when it doesn't touch our heart. But when it touches your heart, have you seen people praying? Let's rush along here. My time is running away from me, as usual. But let's try to, I want us to try to read a couple of examples where the Bible actually shows us when people pray with fervency, prayers that were effectual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So make sure you have a word basis. Make sure your heart connects with what you're praying. Don't rush. Don't hurry through prayer. You say, well, if I'm doing it before I go to work, time, yeah, fine. So then, either start earlier or just do your regular brief praying before you go. But set a time sometime later that day when you can give time to concerted praying. It doesn't have to be in that particular time. If that's not the time that works for you, some people work shifts, night shifts, where praying early in the morning is not really going to work for them. And those who don't work night shift, sometimes have, sleep late or whatever, praying that early, concerted prayer, substantial prayer, may not really perfectly work for them. Well, you find the time that works. But in that time, don't rush. Don't hurry through prayer. Be deliberate. Be planned. Be engaged. Be anointed. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. Don't rush or hurry through prayer. Be deliberate. Be planned. Be engaged. Be anointed. Be deliberate. Be planned. Think about it first. Give your will and your mind and everything about you to it. Engage every part of your being in it. And then you'll be anointed. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you pray for just 1 minute? Just pray for somebody for 1 minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, everyone online with us tonight. I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in their lives. I'm praying, God, that you draw them closer to yourself. I'm praying tonight that you draw them closer to yourself. Father, help them know you more. Let them step up in their relationship with you. Father God, help them. Help them. Help them, Lord. Help them, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, those things that are hindrances in their relationship with you, the things that cause them to be slothful and sluggish, and the things that cause them to be distracted, and Lord, help them. Move those things out of the way. Help them know you more. Give them a greater passion for the Word of God. Lord, give them understanding. Let their eyes, the eyes of their spiritual understanding become enlightened. Father, help them know the hope of their calling in Christ Jesus. Help them, Father, to come in contact with the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Help them see the power of your resurrection. Help them, God, know, Lord, what is available to the saints. Help them know, Father, the things you prepared for them. For your word says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that you have prepared for those that love you, but they are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit reveal himself to them. Let him reveal the will of God, reveal the plan of God for their lives, for the different concerns that they have. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help them to go up higher and higher and higher and higher. Help them to be more and more and more like you ordained their lives to be. Help them, Father. Help them, Father. Let them not come up short. Let them not come up short. Help them, Father. Let the desires of their heart be fulfilled. Let the dreams they have be fulfilled. In the name of the Lord Jesus, grant them access to the best that you have prepared for them. Lord, let there be testimonies in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you the glory and I give you the praise, because you have done more, exceeding abundantly, over all that we have asked or everything that we have imagined today, according to the power that is at work within us. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you feel that earnestness? Amen. Do you feel the Holy Spirit quickening us right there? He was. Amen. He was. Now, let's look at a couple of people who prayed effectual, fervent prayers. Of course, right there, actually, let's stay in James. Just read a couple of verses there. I'm going to try to move a little quicker just because my time is short, and I want to be able to at least wrap this up. I won't read all the scriptures I have, but I'll mention them, and hopefully you can meditate on that. This gives you material to meditate on in the Word of God. Right there in James 5 that we read, then after he says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man, he says it makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. It makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. So that's effectual prayer. That's effectual prayer. Then he gives us an example. He says, Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, a constitution like ours. He prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. No rain. And the scripture right there is 1 Kings 17 from verse 1. You can go read that. That's you see that where he declared to the king, there'll be no rain. According to there will be no rain until I say there will be. Well, the word of God is telling us, before he went and stood before that king, he prayed. He prayed. He prayed. Effectual, fervent prayer. Amen. And then he says in verse 18, and then he prayed again. He prayed again, hallelujah. And the heaven supplied rain, and the land produces crops as usual. 1 Kings 18, 42 to 45. We're going to go read that in just a minute here. See, he says, Elijah was a man just like us, with a frailty, nature just like us. Elijah was not a superhuman person. He was a human being just like you and I. The Bible tells us. Hallelujah. And he prayed, and the heaven stopped giving rain. In 1 Kings 17 verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto the king Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, according to my word, according to my word. And the Bible tells us he prayed first. Before he went and declared all that to the king, the Bible says he prayed first. Hallelujah. He prayed first. And he prayed effectual prayers. And then he declared it. And heaven answered. And then, again in 1 Kings chapter 18, just right there in verse 42. So he told the king, Ahab, he told the king, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. In verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab the king, get you up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down from the earth and put his face between his knees. Look at that. What is that? Praying. Effectual, fervent praying. Look at what he did. He went up to the top of the mountain. He cast himself down upon the earth. That is symbolism. The Bible is describing the posture that this man took in prayer. The reason he took that posture was because that thing touched his heart. You know how it is. You know the things that make us so expressive, the things that make us, the things that twist us out of form, make us lose all our inhibitions, are the things that touch us. You know that. So when you, either you're in worship or you're praying and you are tearing up, it's because it touched you. Something touched you. Certainly, I know there are people who tear up because they are acting. But that's not what we're talking about. When it touches you, all your inhibitions are gone. You don't care what somebody thinks, how you don't care. You just, have you seen people in prayer lay on the ground, bowed over, sometimes rolling, sometimes, you know, just acting sometimes strange. And again, this is not mechanical, because I know sometimes some people can take that out of context and always create a scene. In the time of prayer, there's nothing really happening. The Holy Spirit is not quickening anything, but they just start acting weird. You know, that's their MO. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He cast himself down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Oh, and he started praying. Remember, he had told the man, rain is coming, I hear the sound. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He already heard the sound of abundance of rain. I said in one of our services not too long ago, prophecy is fulfilled on the wings of prayer. The will of God is not automatic. The fact that God is interested in doing something, the fact that the Lord showed this man, this servant of God, that rain is going to come. It's in my plan for rain to come. And he went and told the king, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. That, as true as that is, it is not automatic. It's not a given it will happen. There's so many things the Lord has declared, so many things the Lord has ordained, so many things the Lord has prepared, so many things the Lord has instructed that don't happen on the earth. Because men and women don't pray. Oh, hallelujah. But beloved, when we get caught up in the river of prayer, when we elevate in the place of prayer, when all of these things that the Holy Spirit has been showing us, when they come to bear on our prayer life, in our place of prayer, my friends, things happen. Things happen that caused the ears of men to tingle. Hallelujah. Things happen that people thought would never happen. Miracles happen. Breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Prophecy is fulfilled on the wings of prayer. When God's people pray, things happen. Amen. So he cast himself, started to pray, and then he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. He went and looked, and the servant came back and said, there is nothing. I'm just going to close right here in this scripture right here, and we'll probably pick it up from the other examples of fervent prayer before we go on to talk about something else in our next service as the Holy Spirit leads us here. He said to his servant in verse 43, go up now and look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. So when he said, go look, the servant went and looked. Remember, Elijah is praying. He's praying. Remember one of the things that we said earlier in this service? Remember? Always pray from your heart. Sometimes while praying, pause to meditate or consider God's word regarding what you are praying. Make sure your heart connects. Well, as Elijah prayed, he was expecting something to change. That's why he called his servant, hey, go and look. And the servant came back and said, Master, there's nothing. So then after he told him there's nothing, he went back to pray. He didn't give up. Remember what we read in James chapter 5, verse 16, in the Amplified. Remember, he called it earnest, the earnest prayer. And then he says heartfelt. He used two words to describe earnest. He says heartfelt and is continuous or continued. That's the way he describes it in James chapter 5 and 16 here in the Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. Makes tremendous power. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, when we pray, things are happening. Things are happening. It may not be immediately apparent to the eyes. That's why we ought to keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Hallelujah. It's heartfelt. It's continued. That's effectual. That's earnest. He said, go look. And the servant went, he said, and he went and looked again seven times. And every time he looked, he came back and said, Master, there's nothing. And Elijah didn't stop praying. He continued on. He continued on. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Something's happening. And as Elijah was praying, something was happening. His servant couldn't see it. The natural eyes couldn't see, but something was happening. As we pray, things are happening. It may not look like it. You may see nothing, 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 but keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Something's happening. Something's changing. Hallelujah. Something's changing. Heaven is coming to earth. Something's changing. God is hearing you. He's moving on your behalf. He's dispatching angels, ministering spirits to go work things out for you. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. We saw that in the case of Daniel. When the angel finally came, he said, God heard you from the first day you prayed. For when I came, there were principalities and powers who stopped me. Prince of Persia, stop me. He said, but you didn't stop praying. And now here I am with the answer. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Something's happening. Something's happening. Hallelujah. Verse 30, verse 44. It came to pass the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Oh, glory to God. Glory. There's a little cloud. It's still not the abundance of rain that he heard. But a little cloud finally showed up. Oh, my friends. And when you see the little cloud, it's just a tiny little sign that something shifted in the atmosphere. It's just a tiny little sign that something moved. Oh, my friends, that's when to raise the intensity of our praying. Don't stop. He said, I see a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go say unto Ahab, prepare your chariots and get you down, that the rain does not stop you. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds. Notice, it went from a little cloud to the rain, to the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was great rain. Great rain. Something's happening as we pray. Something's happening. Something's changing. See his glory, like that song says, heaven on earth. Something's happening. Something's changing. Something's shifting when we pray. Something's shifting in our lives, in our season. There's a shift happening in our season as we pray. What you see today is the worst picture you will ever see in your life as you pray. Something's changing. Whatever you're experiencing today is the least of God's favor that you will ever experience in your life. Something's shifting. Something's changing. So keep on praying. Earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Quickened by the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you receive something tonight. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I feel the Lord's presence right here. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for visiting with us in this service tonight. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you, God, for filling us, for quickening your word in our spirit. We give you praise for the river of prayer that is rising. It's rising. It's rising. Hallelujah. It started from the ankle, but it's going up to our knee level. It's going up to our waist. It's rising. It's rising. The water, the glory of our praying. And things are changing. Things are happening. And we bless your holy name. And we give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. Take it to yourself, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.